Well, guys, Merry Christmas one more time. We got to say it as many times as we can because after tomorrow, it's all over. We can't do it anymore, right? So Merry Christmas, guys. This is Pastor Lance right beside me. Pastor Lance said he was going to be wearing a blue suit and a red shirt. The first thing I thought about was he's going to look like Superman.
Check. Here I am. Finally got the mic on, champ. Hit it right. It's weird. Well, good to see everyone this morning. Thank you guys so much for being here on this Christmas Eve. Again, my name is Lance. I serve as the lead pastor here. Pastor Richard and I are going to be communicating to you guys this morning. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read some of the Christmas story this morning. Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 1 through, we're going to read verses 1 through 21. Pastor Richard and I have a real short message for you today. We know that you have a lot of things going on today, but here's the thing. I know that you're probably thinking about people in town. What are we going to eat? Some of us got the turkey in the oven. So there's a lot of thoughts running through your mind. So my encouragement to all of us this morning is everything's all right. You made it to church. Your kids are here. Your family's somewhere, hopefully here. Let's all focus in for the next 20 minutes because we believe that every time we come to church, that God wants to communicate to us. We've been talking this whole month about that God is our Father, that as our Heavenly Father, He has good things prepared for us. And so He has something to say to you. You're His children. You're here for a reason today. And He wants to declare something to you this morning. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to be registered. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company, the heavenly host, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, being the good mother that she was, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived." Lord, we love you. Again, we thank you for today. Holy Spirit, open up our minds and our hearts to receive, Lord, specifically what you want to say to us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. You know, guys, it's really hard to believe that it's Christmas Eve right now. It seems like, I mean, many of you guys would probably agree that this year, it just seems like it went by just like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, as a matter of fact, the stores have all convinced us that it was Christmas Eve way back in Halloween.
That's right.
Because the signs were everywhere, weren't they? It's like the day after Halloween, they got all that stuff out of the way.
That was me, champ.
That was you.
That was me.
Now we got to get on with Christmas. Over the last 2 months, it's like we've seen signs everywhere trying to tell us that this day was coming. And the thing about a sign is that Signs are either to be ignored or obeyed. But also, there are some signs that you just cannot ignore. Now, we've just read this great passage, and there was a sign that these shepherds saw as they were doing their job. But along with the sign came something called a proclamation. Now, a proclamation is a public or an official announcement, especially dealing with a matter of great importance or significance. And this sign pointed to them to be led to a response for everyone who heard and saw this sign. So today we're going to be talking about the proclamation. We're going to be talking about the sign and the response. First, the proclamation. The interesting thing about this, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie The Nativity. It's a great, great movie, especially to watch this time of year. And they had this great saying in it. They said that this sign is for the lowest of men to the highest of kings. It's very interesting. You know, when a presidential candidate, when they're about to run for office and they make this big, huge announcement, we're about to experience this next year. There's a lot of political candidates that are about to run for office late next year. They are starting to come out and say that they are officially running. The big thing about when a presidential or any other candidate makes their announcement, it's important not only what they say, but how they say it and where they say it. And it's an indication of how the rest of the announcement is going to roll out to the rest of the people. You may remember back in last year when a presidential candidate was going to come out and say that they were going to be running. Some would do it in the state of Iowa because that was where the first primary was going to take place. So it was a big to-do. It was big pomp and splendor about what they were going to do and how this message was going to be crucial. So when there is a proclamation that's going out from a heavenly host, you better believe that it has everything to do with who they were going to be talking about or who they were going to be talking to has a lot to do with it. The fact that those shepherds were some of the first to hear about the birth of Christ is really, really important. But it's also important is not as who was there, but also who was not there. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. First, we're going to take a look at these shepherds. The shepherds were the lowest of men. They would not hang out in the city. They were not prominent people. They were not city officials. They were not dignitaries. They were not lawmakers. They were not Pharisees. They were not Sadducees. These were just ordinary people who dwelled out in the country. They were probably dirty. They stayed out there long periods of time. Matter of fact, if the party was going on, Hanukkah had just happened, the Festival of the Lights may have been going on around this time, and they would go to the temple and celebrate. But these shepherds, they were out in the country. They, you might say, were the forgotten people. People that weren't high on the societal ladder. They were low. They were ordinary people. They were common people, but they were also loyal and dependable and diligent people. Also, we can't forget that the angels were there. So we know the shepherds were there, but the angels were there. And I want you to get in your mind just for a second that this proclamation, many of us may think that this is kind of foreign because we weren't there. We may have never seen an angel or things like that. But think about this as a birth announcement. Many of you guys have seen nowadays they have these huge gender reveal parties and people have big puffs of pink and blue smoke and they slice the cake and it's pink or blue and everybody goes wild. And when people are about to make the birth announcement, people go ballistic. People who may have been thinking or wanting to have a child for years, they tell all of their friends and it may go viral if you've got a special video. And all of these people go wild over the birth announcement. But I want you to think about this for a second. This is the greatest birth announcement in the history of the world. And God spares no expense with this birth announcement. You thought you saw a viral video on YouTube. Imagine if they had Twitter in this day. Now, people just went ballistic, Pastor Lance, the other day. There were these rockets that were test fired in Los Angeles. Anybody see that? And there was this big thing about, what is that in the sky? Everybody was going crazy. What is that? Is it a UFO? And everybody's like, no, it's just a test of a rocket. But imagine if we had Twitter, Instagram, Facebook in the first century, and a heavenly host of angels appeared in the sky. People would flip out. People from around the world would travel to see this. The thing about this heavenly host that perplexed me is I don't really know what a host is. It says that a heavenly host. Now, I've read several commentaries of the Bible, and they kind of say that a host is kind of like a host of stars. Imagine looking up at the night sky, and how many stars do you see? Now imagine in the same way, the night sky lit up, illuminated by a host of heavenly angels. As you look up and see the sky, it's almost like night must have become day. Because of the glory of the Lord and the heavenly host appeared in the sky. Also, something that you notice in this scene, we know that the angels were there. We know that the shepherds were there. But the interesting thing is who was not there. There are several important characters in this passage of Scripture that were not there. Caesar Augustus was not there. King Herod was not there. Quirinius, the governor of Syria, was not there. All of the important people were not there. All of those who knew everything going on in the country were not there. It's amazing that all of those who had power of influence, those who were to do, they were all absent. They were all missing from this scene. And it reminded me in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. There's this interesting passage of Scripture. It says that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out. And you get this image that God was not concerned about those who were high up on the social ladder. God was not concerned about all of these kings and their pomp and their splendor and their money and their servants and all of their power. He chose to reveal the birth of Christ to the lowest of men and not necessarily to the highest of kings in the land.
Tremendous. You know, when I think about who was there, sometimes I think we can relate to the shepherds. Oftentimes we read about the three kings and magi who showed up. But this whole idea of the angels being there and the angels being a part of what was taking place. And sometimes I think we can't associate with angels, like Pastor Richard said. Most of us in this room probably never seen an angel. If you have, please come talk to me. I've never seen one. One has never spoken to me. Pastor Richard, ever spoken to you before?
Only my wife. You like it?
I will set you up for next service, Chan, where you can say that while she's in here. That was key. You set me up next time.
My husbands, wife. Write that down.
But the thing about these angels is what we have to understand, I think, is that, you know, the angels, now again, this is just Pastor Richard and I using our sanctified imagination, because in Scripture, there's not much written about what the angels were thinking. But you have to believe that the angels knew about what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. They knew that there was a separation. God had created this heaven and the earth. He created mankind. And the angels, they were there. They were seeing it. Now, but the angels didn't completely understand the plan of God. It's not been revealed to them completely of what God was going to do. And so here we have the angels witnessing Adam and Eve disobeying God. And I'm sure there was something going on the inside of them that this is not right. And like they were almost like on edge wondering, what is our God going to do to redeem this earth? Because he knew, they knew somehow, I believe that they knew that God wasn't finished with the earth. Even though human beings disobeyed, even though they were not living in line with God and His Word, I believe that there was a tension in them. What is this God? It is anticipation. What is He going to do? Think about how many years they held on to that anticipation. Slowly seeing God's redemptive plan throughout the Old Testament come into play. And here we have now the moment that this baby has come. And they're beginning to, in a sense, the understanding or the revelation is coming to them that this is the Savior of the world. Now, we know that Gabriel, he was brought in on some of the conversation. He knew a little bit more about, but yet I believe that the other angels, and this was the moment that they begin to see. And just like Pastor Richard said, that birth announcement was made. There was a party in heaven. In a sense, that was what was being rendered. The heavens were being torn back, in a sense, and the shepherds were being brought into this great party, this great announcement that was taking place, this great proclamation that was taking place. And see, the thing about the proclamation is everything about Jesus, everything about His kingdom always begins with a proclamation. Even when John the Baptist shows up on the scene, he begins to make a proclamation that there is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You see this in Luke chapter 3, verse 3. That there is a proclamation that this man made. Even when Jesus shows up Himself, He actually begins to proclaim Himself the gospel of God. Mark chapter 1, 14 through 15, saying the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Everything about the kingdom of heaven, everything about Jesus begins with a proclamation. The thing I love about God and the thing I love about understanding this whole term of that He does proclaim things to you and I think oftentimes we get this idea or we begin to think in our minds that our God is trying to hide things from us. This was really what got Adam and Eve to disobey God. Satan convinced them, God is hiding something from you. He's not telling you everything. There's something He knows that He doesn't want you to know. Therefore, you can't trust Him. Therefore, you need to do this so you can be like God. That's a huge temptation. But yet, what we find is reading the Scriptures, this God who proclaims that God is not trying to hide anything from us. Sometimes you'll hear the statement that God works in mysterious ways. Well, friends, I like to say He doesn't work in mysterious ways. We're the ones that oftentimes work in mysterious ways. He clearly tells us who He is and what He's going to do. If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that will happen. God is not trying to hide from you. He's not running from you. He clearly wants to communicate who He is because He loves us and He wants to bring you and I into a relationship with Him today. The problem that we have, I believe, is this, is that we are bombarded with proclamations. Social media, the news, be able to read the news on your phone. We are bombarded. Things pop up on your screen. Newsweek. What's taking place? All the time. We're so bombarded with so many times people proclaiming that oftentimes it gets hard. Who do we listen to? What proclamation do we receive? What proclamation do we obey? What proclamation is true? What proclamation is relevant to my life? And see, here's the good news today, is that we can trust in this proclamation. And this is what these shepherds did. These shepherds, they heard something, but they didn't just hear. See, they saw. They heard and they saw. The proclamation that was made to them was that there is a great Savior that had come. Now think about it, Pastor Richard. They could have heard this proclamation and done what, Pastor Richard? What do you think?
Could have ignored it.
Ignored it? Just sat there, kept on watching the sheep, trimming the sheep, whatever they do. But yet they heard and they began to respond to that proclamation. They actually went looking for what that proclamation was pointing to. And so really the question for you and I today that we need to answer is all the proclamations that we're listening to, all of those that we hear, which one of those do we obey? And really, to answer that is simply this. What is that proclamation pointing to? That's right. The proclamation for the shepherds pointed to a great sign. That's right. And that sign was Jesus, this baby in a manger.
You know, the thing about a sign is that all of us have had signs in our life. Many people have probably in this room said, God, just give me a sign. Oh, anybody Lord. Ever said that?
Uh-huh.
Anybody ever known somebody? If God would just give me a sign, everything would just be okay. The problem is that God has been sending us signs our entire life. And the problem with that is that for many of us, we ignore the signs.
Yeah.
It's like if you've driven down I-24 to Nashville, there are many people who ignore the signs.
Speed limit sign?
Exactly. Have you ever done that, champion?
Oh, Lord.
We won't go there. There are people who ignore signs.
Yeah, if I did it so bad one time.
He wants to confess his sin before
I
us.
I do. This was so embarrassing. So I get pulled over on it wasn't on the interstate. It was on Wilma Rudolph. I get pulled over. I was going to our campus meeting. I mean, why didn't the Lord let me pass? I mean, yeah, I'm going
you were doing holy things.
Exactly. I get pulled over, give the cop my license. He comes up to me.
What'd you get pulled over for? You omitted that part.
I guess I was, I'm not sure. I was trying to drive my truck and probably talking. He pulls me over. And he comes back, get my license, he comes back, he says, sir, he says, what do you do?
Oh, goodness.
I said, yeah. I said, I'm a pastor. He says, you have the worst driving record as a pastor I have ever seen. Gosh, that was so embarrassing.
Champ.
He asked me, what church you pastor? I said, I lied, champ. Grace, Bible Church, you know.
First Baptist, First Pentecostal.
I had to repent when I drove off. I did not tell him Bethel.
That is the worst Christmas story ever. Just extend your hands in this direction. We will pray for our lead pastor. Lord, help him.
I had to, man. It was just terrible.
See, you missed the signs.
I did.
See, many of us in here, we have all missed the signs. See, God does miracles, I believe, in our life all the time. You think about the time that God got you out of that jam, that you've been in a wreck, or you heard about a family member that was in that wreck and they walked away without a scratch. You know, a miracle is supernatural providence of God. It's like God's hand coming and intervening in a situation. How many of you feel like God has performed miracles in your life? Maybe you were on the battlefield and you don't know how. You walked away. How did you, your marriage was a train wreck. And we know that in Fort Campbell, 90% of marriages may end in divorce. 50% in the church. But yet, you went through that crazy ordeal and you're still married. You still, I tell men all the time, and they just don't think life is going the way it should. I said, do you wake up next to your wife every day? That is the goodness of God. For many people, it is a miracle that you still get to wake up next to that person every day. But the problem is that many of us, even though we've had these miracles, the hand of God, the mercy, the grace of God, doing amazing and extraordinary things that nobody can properly understand or explain, many of us still miss the signs. Many of us ignore the signs. So the question today is, God has been sending you signs all the while. God has been sending you signs. Question is, how have you responded to those signs? See, there is a purpose. There is a mission. There is a goal for every time God gives you a sign. And just as Pastor Lance said a minute ago, every sign, it requires a response from us. Every single one of them requires a response. We know that the shepherds, they responded, didn't they? Everybody say amen. See, the shepherds, they hurried to find Jesus. They wasted no time. As soon as the proclamation was given and the sign was seen, there was immediate action.
Yeah.
There was an immediate response. See, I've had an interesting 2017, Pastor Lance. Many of you guys know that this year in January the 28th, I had a heart attack for 24 hours. And I went to this clinic and they gave me a proclamation. They said, you need to go to the hospital.
That's right.
There was a sign that my heart was under attack. And my response is, with great speed, I had drove to the hospital. You know, the thing about it is, I didn't stop to get a Krispy Kreme donut. See, the proclamation was given, the sign was seen. I didn't stop to go home and get cleaned up. No, I went with great speed. See, the interesting thing about that predicament for me was, when I was at the waiting room, I saw a lot of sick people there. A lot of people that are sick in a hospital emergency room. And to be honest, there were a lot of people there that looked a lot sicker than me. They looked in worse shape than me. I didn't look that bad. And I thought, well, these people really need the help. But the problem with that was I was the sickest person in the room. I was the one with the need for the most help. I was the one that may have not have made it. And we can be in a room just like this. You have been given signs all of your life. You are here in a room full of people. And most of us will say, well, those people are probably worse off than me. They look like they really need some Jesus. Their marriage is a train wreck. Their life is atrocious. Their finances are horrible. And we will make all of these excuses why the signs are not pointed to us. It's kind of like we'll go to church and say, oh, that was a good word, Pastor Lance. I know somebody that really needed that. But the signs have been pointed to you. And God wants to get your attention. There's an old song, and it goes like this. It says that God's trying to tell you something. Maybe, just maybe, that all of those signs were God's attempt to get your attention. That maybe your heart has been under attack. Maybe your heart has something wrong with it. And God has been trying to woo your heart, get your attention, and he's given you proclamations, he's given you signs, and you have ignored it time after time. And this Christmas Eve, I truly believe that God is saying all of the signs that have been pointed in your direction have led you to where you are today. And the question for today is, how are you going to respond to the proclamations and signs that God has given?
That's great. Dee, you can come on up and bring your team up, babe. You know, Pastor Rich, as you were saying that, I was even thinking about the signs or the miracles that may not have happened. Because I think there's many times in our life that we do pray for this or we pray for that. And, you know, just for some reason, it just doesn't happen. Prayer's not answered. That dream you had doesn't come to pass. You know, it's not just do we ignore the sign, but do we realize that sometimes that prayer, that miracle, that God somehow, some way, he's a good father, but he knows best. Listen, I don't understand it completely. I don't understand why things happen like they do. Yet even in the midst of all of that, see, that's really where true worship begins to kick in. True worship and true giving your, really you surrendering your life over to Christ really begins to happen when whatever you're believing for doesn't happen. That's where you find out really where your heart is. And oftentimes we get frustrated, we get upset. Here's the good news, that's all right. We're human beings. God understands that. But in the midst of all of that, God, I'm upset. God, I'm mad at you. God, I'm mad at this. You always come back. God brings you right back, and it's just peace. Lord, at the end of the day, Lord, I trust in you. See, this response that the shepherds had is that they went and they saw. And the good, and the crazy thing about it is that here are these isolated shepherds. They didn't talk much to people. We find out that after they left that manger, the Bible talks about them. They begin to go and proclaim what they had heard and what they had saw. We're going to talk more about this, really, in January. This whole idea. See, when your heart begins to change, the very message of your life, your proclamation begins to change. Amen? Today, God is here. He's here. And my hope for you this morning is, as you listen to Pastor Richard and I, that your response would be, no matter what's going on, is that, Lord, I just surrender. Lord, I give you everything today. Father, we love you so much. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, who you are and what you do. Lord, this Christmas Eve morning, God, we just stop just for a moment.